It is clear that there is a gender gap when it comes to financial literacy. Many, many, many different studies over many, many years have found this to be true. But why? Why? What are the causes of this gap and why does it persist? New research from the George Washington University School of Business and a group of collaborators set out to answer this very question. Joining us now to take us through that research is Anna Marie Lusardi. She is the academic director and professor of economics and accountancy at the George Washington University School of Business. She joins us from Washington. Hello there.
Hello.
So much research, so many studies. What specifically were you trying to get at with this work?
We were trying to understand better what generates this gender difference in financial literacy, which is so pervasive. And it's true, by the way, all over the world. So it's not just a US phenomena. It's just so pervasive. And that's why we have been studying this, by the way, for almost 10 years now.
Wow. How do you define financial literacy in a way that has it be quantifiable and that your research can actually dig into it?
This is how we started doing this project. So we designed three questions to measure financial literacy, and they've become known as the big three over time. And we basically measure just the fundamental and the most important knowledge of the concepts that are at the basis of financial decision making. Just to be clear, looking at knowledge of interest compounding, inflation, and risk diversifications.
And how big a gap did you find?
The gap is quite big. First of all, let me just say that overall financial literacy is low in the population, not just among women, but it's lower among women, sometimes 10 percentage point or 15 percentage point, meaning, you know, if 30, 35% of men are financially literate, when you look at women, you know, only 20% are financially literate. So it's a substantial gap, noticeable and consequential.
Yes, consequential in so many different ways because it plays out in every single area of our financial lives, as one can imagine. I do want to really get into what you have found to be the causes of this gap.
One cause that we think is very important is confidence. That when we look at the way women answer these questions, we find that women are reluctant basically to answer the questions. And when they don't know the answer, when they are not sure 100%, they tend to say, I do not know. But if they say, I do not know, then I count them as not being knowledgeable. So we were able actually to quantify just how much that confidence matters in explaining the gender gap. And to put it in a number, it matters one third. So one third of the gender gap is confidence.
It's interesting because if we were to put that into a traditional literacy way, our rubric would not be, do you feel confident about reading? It would be, read this sentence and I'm going to gauge your accuracy. How does that nuance apply to your research? Because on the one hand, I don't care if anyone's confident. I just want them to do the right things. On the other hand, I care deeply about their confidence because it means that they are going to participate and engage and have conversations and be curious, et cetera.
That's exactly the point. So first of all, we wanted to figure out whether, you know, what this I do not know really meant. And this is why we did an experiment when we took away the do not know and forced women to answer the questions. And we realized that they were able to answer them. But most importantly, we wanted to know, does it matter? Does that lack of confidence then prevent you, for example, from participating in the stock market, which is the focus here, but also many other decisions? And the fact that it does matter that if you don't have enough confidence, then you are also not going to take the next step, which is act upon that knowledge, is what matters and why confidence as well is so important.
So the next obvious question, why are women less confident?
This is harder to address. And, you know, we didn't have enough information in our data set to look at that. But it's truly gender in a sense that even in simple questions, women with respect to men were more likely to say, I'm not confident. And by the way, even when they answer the question correctly in both situations, you know, before and after we took away the do not know options. I actually do think that is part of, almost the women, first of all, culture, where some of these topics, money and money management, are not something that women are discussing with others. Perhaps the parents are not discussing with them. It has also to do with the women attitude. And this is, I think, is a good quality of being, you know, just more cautious, of being, you know, less venturous in, you know, in topics that they don't feel they master well. And I have to say, you know, this could be a good quality, but I think in this particular case, it has gone beyond being cautious. So it has become fear. Mm. And this is why we call the, you know, our paper Fearless Woman. So we need women to be more fearless when it comes to money.
Women often are less confident in asking for promotions and raises. And I bring that up because one of the interventions on that front is an opt-out instead of an opt-in. So everyone's eligible for this promotion. You don't want it, you can take yourself out, but you don't have to raise your hand and say, oh God, I'm the best. Is there a reapplication here on financial literacy and on financial behavior that opts everyone in so confidence is less material?
I think it's a good solution, often to just set the default so that people are in rather than out. But I actually think it's not enough. And we have seen that, for example, in a retirement pension, women tend to, you know, stick to the default, but often the default is not ideal for them. Mm. You know, like their participation rate is too low. And also we saw that they actually don't change their allocation. They are very passive in their investment inside the pension fund and outside the pension funds. So the reality is sometimes you really have to be proactive. And this is why, you know, our message is really that, you know, it's important for women to take action. It's important for women to raise the voice. It's important to be fearless. And this is actually what I do in my classroom as well now. I, you know, push the women to raise their hand and I ask questions to them. I think, you know, we need to get used to it because sometimes being passive is not the best.
So you've said 1/3 is due to lower confidence. 2/3 of the gap is explained by lower financial knowledge. Can we interpret or can we have a hypothesis about what financial literacy interventions need to do differently for a female audience? We know in pedagogy that people learn in different ways. I'm sure you see your students in this way very differently in classrooms. Some learn by listening, some learn by pictures, all that stuff. What needs to change about those interventions to account for the difference in genders?
First of all, I think we need to have financial literacy in school. Mm. The school is truly equalizing. If we leave it to the parents, to the peers, to others, in a sense, to teach the women, I think women are going to be left behind. And instead, if they learn it in the school, it becomes a topic that is clear, you know, has to be learned by everyone. I think it will be better. But also we have to be sensitive, as you said, that, you know, people learn differently. And I've done it in my class as well. We know that women might be more fearful, might be less motivated, might be thinking this is not for me. And so I think we need to target and have programs that take those into consideration. We cannot think that, you know, our students are one size fits all. Mm. And I think we need both, I think, for the young and for the old, more targeted program that makes sure that we tell people it is for you. You know, it's targeted to you and, you know, it's targeting to your needs and to your situation and perhaps to your fear as well.
Very, very interesting stuff. Professor Lusardi, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Professor Anna Marie Lusardi is the Academic Director of the Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center. That's at the George Washington University School of Business.